Tarumbeta italia katika anga.
Like this. That is how the trumpet will sound.
Especially before bunge la wananchi, yeah, ama mwananchi turned into what it is. Sindio?
Yes.
So, lazima kuna watu wako, mnalipo pesa ngapi ku shake serikali?
Even when kijana kitaka kudanganya msichana, they rely on appetite. So, unapeleka STS, unanunua kuku na maji ya machungwa, unaeka hapo ya kutosha, even when you don't have fare.
Maji ya machungwa.
Maji ya machungwa unaeka hapo, unaeka meza inakuwa sawa. Iyo ni controlling appetite.
Appetite, yes. For distraction.
Yes, stealing. And these people who steal, they steal because of appetite. And then they create problem for everyone. Because now, everyone goes to their house to queue, to get donations. Or go, nini, if you come from where I come from, people, tuko na hii msemi na itwa mbeho, which is in Luo, among Luos is gonya. You, yeah? Everywhere.
Mbeho ni kaa
gonya. Mbeho is, yeah.
Ikonene. Episode 589, tukusema like, subscribe, hit the notification button, tell a friend to tell a friend.
Yeah.
Na leo tukona mse fulani ule niko shua. Most probably haumjui, but unajua kazi yake bila kujua ni kazi yake. And of course kazi yake ile unajua ni bunge la wananchi, na mse inabonga juu yake ni George Nyongesa. And George, miaka mingi?
Miaka mingi, bro.
Mekwa like how many years?
Tumeduana kutoka Kiwangara.
Yeah. So I think at least 2008. So this close
2008,
to...
Yes.
So 18
after
years.
After 2007.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think sasa ni 18 years. Eh?
18 years, yeah.
And kitu moja wajua kwa gatu, since day one tumekujua as the fit guy. Uja ya mwatu kukula ugali kila siku.
Shida ndiyo mingi, lazima nikae fiti. Shida ndiyo mingi, lazima nikae fiti.
Yeah. So like one of the things wasewa wajui ni your role in bunge la wananchi. Excuse me, like every day I have to see a clip of Bunge la Wananchi. So what was your role in Bunge la Wananchi? Because mimi naijua, like since your 2008, nimekuwa nikikujua kama George wa Bunge la Wananchi. But afterwards, when I've seen it morph into whatever it is, I've never seen you there. I'm on Bunge la Wananchi, that is. I've never seen you there. So what's up?
Right. Bunge la Mwananchi is a space for everyone. Mm. It's a space where Kenyans meet to discuss issues that affect them in the community, as individual, or as a household, as a community, and then how they connect to the collective called the government of Kenya.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I also happened to join the place by accident. Kulikuwa na some activists who came to University of Nairobi for a seminar. And during that seminar, these young people were very, very vocal. And I was very curious.
Yes.
Because we were, hey, I knew what we were in Agani. Then after the seminar, I got to talk to one of them. Then they told me they usually meet at Jivanji. Wakona kitu inaitwa kikao. And so from there, I started making my ways to Jivanji occasionally to go see what they do. And I found very animated conversations, especially when people are leaving work. Wale watu wanafanya huko community. Before wakuje kuchukua buses huku chini, bus station, ama kuchukua hapa Koja Mosque, hapa,
yes.
Hapa tea room, wanapiti hapo. To listen to what people think.
Yes.
And at that time, that space was called Kikao. And basically, those people will be discussing real issues from community. So as a young person, I got engaged. And now, once I got engaged with these guys who are there, I brought in some of my thinking from the university. And so with the time, we moved to conceptualize your place is Itwe Kikao. Because I thought that Kikao was making it look more very local full, and it doesn't get the respect of what was going on.
Yes.
And so we changed the name. Tukaanza kuita Bunge la Wananchi, and in English tukaita People's Parliament. So initially tukapata very huge resistance. First from people who couldn't understand how you can have the other parliament,
yes,
and then you have Bunge la Wananchi or the People's Parliament. But we braved through and popularize the space. So my role basically was to take this thing that was practical and give it a theory. And the theory was here that in a democracy where the people rule themselves,
Yes.
Those people need to have a space for to have their voice and then see how they can channel their voice into the national politics.
Okay.
And so we started growing the space, moving away from just talking at Givenchy and push ourselves into the civil society.
Mm.
And then from the civil society, pushed ourselves into having to be listened to by the politics of the day.
Mm.
And that's how we grew. And then we converted other spaces.
So it can say ilikuwa because right now I can see
Givenchy Garden.
Yes.
Is the place. That's where.
And right now, it's where is it? Nowadays?
Right now, we can say we are a nationwide movement.
The ones in Nairobi.
The ones in Nairobi, we have Jacaranda, we have Kawangware, Kangemi, Kibra every Sunday afternoon. In fact, where the late Honorable Raila Odinga used to go when he wants impromptu rally, that is Bunge la Mwananchi space.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Oh. There's this, kunayo nyolikuwa just from City Hall.
City Hall, yeah.
Ni Queensway.
Yeah.
So yeah, Apple. Yes. Like, niko napata pia raya zingine.
There was that group that used to be at City Hall and similar formation, but when Kidero became the governor, akawa push away, some of them, they found home at Givenchy and then Givenchy started growing. Then some of those guys are the ones who ended up morphing and forming those satellite bunges, like the ones you find in Jacaranda, Kangemi, hapa Ngara pia kuna hata nini kuna wengine just nini uko Ruiru, Githurai. So basically, yeah, so people just found the concept, and once we made the concept to be organic so that it's not registered, it's not owned by anyone, it's a people's space.
Yes.
And so everywhere people now meet, they are free to call themselves Bunge la Mwananchi as long as they are discussing the people's issue and putting them in one voice where they can push their leaders. Yeah.
Yes. So it's Bunge la Mwananchi ama Bunge la
Mwananchi. Because ultimately, Wananchi is made up of one. Yeah. And so we want that one person to have their voice. Because once you say Wananchi, then individuals get lost.
Yes, into, in the process.
We want the Mwananchi.
Because reason nakuuliza,
ni
kuna, unajua, mzungu anaweza kuja yuko like, so there's a BLM movement in Kenya.
Yeah.
Saja.
Oh, BLM.
Black Lives Matter. Na vilataka hiyo story.
Yeah, yeah. BLM.
Yes, yes.
I think at Bunge la Mwananchi is all lives matter. Hata mzungu pia akikuja if he has issues, he can bring them.
But hiyo ya Black Lives Matter, if we are to digress kidogo, it was specifically meant because it's like black people who used to get shot like animals on the streets.
Yeah.
Majuzi hata kulikuwa na video ya huko states ile mzungu aman pulling a cop out of a police car and throwing her out and taking the police car and living with it, and he was alive.
Yeah.
Hey, a black person. Kwanza I'm saying muscular car. Takuwa put your hands where like you have to police akikustop lazima ushikilie.
No, the headline will be man shot down while attempting.
Mm.
To pull down a police officer, not even you wouldn't even get into the car or drive away.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Unfortunately, human relations sometimes zikiwa in group dynamics where there's one group that feels they has much more power,
yes,
and another group feels like it has less power. The one that has power tends to misuse its power. It's human nature that has to be managed, and that's why we need governments that are very strong to make sure that the weak are protected by the collective, which is the government, and the strong can have a say because after all they have the means. So
okay so this guy, so I've seen a lot of stars rise up from Bunge la Mwananchi. Which ones have impressed you the most, the ones who've become like part of, when you think about politics, these guys, some of them are even invited into like mainstream media, even like alternative media kama hii, but which few have impressed you considering wewe ulikuwa at the beginning, najua when this thing was starting before the internet, because the internet of course has pushed it to the next level, but which ones have impressed you?
I think the nature of organic growth, I think Bunge has achieved to turn into a powerful social movement, giving people of different shades opportunity to try out their capacity to either communicate issues, their lived experience from the grassroots. Also, if you want to be a leader, it's an open platform because all you need is to show up and exercise, demonstrate what you have. And for that, because it's an open platform, it has allowed many young people to come and test themselves. And so technically you could say that Bunge la Mwananchi has a very organic succession plan. So for example, many people, as you said, will not know that I was actively involved in organizing and Bunge la Mwananchi for a very long time, such that it was the name was synonymous with myself. But right now we have other young people that have showed up. We have many young people. I think I don't know if I need to mention names, and then it will it's almost like endorsing certain people.
But I think
generally we have we also have people who are in political positions who came from Bunge la Mwananchi. We have an MCA in Siaya County. Leonardo Riaro was from Bunge la Mwananchi. We have another one from Makueni, Kelly Musioka, Bunge la Mwananchi.
Okay.
We have young people who have formed their own civil society organization, Madare Social Justice Movement. That's Bunge la Mwananchi. We have here... near Gikomba here, we have also another social movement. We have many ladies who have also found space and joined feminist movement through Bunge la Mwananchi. We have other people who have become very creative and diversified even into finding space to work with politicians as personal assistants, as researchers. So we have very many people who have used Bunge la Mwananchi.
Also
the fact that the space has been able to create power that just recently we had the Treasury Cabinet Secretary coming to the platform to start talking pre-talks about the budget.
Yes,
CS Mbandi was at Jivanji, and that's where he made his first speech on the budget for 2025. We've had politicians having to make their way there. We had Raila Odinga, the late, has been to that space. Professor Nyang Nyong has been a regular attendant in the space. James Orengo.
So far, I mentioned two at ODM. When it's an ODM thing?
We had even Kabando Akabando.
Oh, okay. We mentioned ODM.
Has been to the space. I think MP for... I think it's MP for Starehe. Who is that? The Somali gentleman. What is his name?
Not Starehe.
Maybe Kamkunji.
Kamkunji. Ule wa Isili.
The one who had the accident.
Yes. That's Kamkunji.
Yeah, he has been there. Tim Wanyonyi has also been there. I think, ODM. Yeah, but generally, ODM has been the face of opposition politics.
Yes.
And naturally, spaces that have to do with the wananchi issues are always occupied with the sentiments of opposition.
Okay.
So that's what would make... But even government, now Mbandi has not come there as an opposition.
Yes,
come there as an official government,
Oh, okay. Because alafu kitu moja lazima tuulize. Anyone who's involved in... any sort of civic education and anyone who can be classified as part of civil society, you might not want to be classified as that, but there's always that katag, especially before Bunge la Wananchi ama Mwananchi turned into what it is, sindio? So lazima kuna watu wako mnalipo pesa ngapi ku shake serikali, like you are being paid to disrupt the government and destabilize
activists.
The government
you're
activists. So I'm sure those accusations must have been there at some point.
Now those accusations, some are illegitimate, some are legitimate, because you see, we ultimately, we are human beings, and sometimes we are involved in these things passionately, sincerely, genuinely, but along the way you get some offers that can actually distract you from, or that can make you feel like you're still achieving the same cause while also benefiting from it.
Yes.
But at the same time, you can also be given something. Ile inafanya uachane na ile ulikuwa unafanya, uanze kufanya sasa ile yenye umelipiwa. And it's not untrue that activism has made some people have material benefit. So
okay, now mpaka ukastepa we. Ulilambishwa kamwa.
I love how material benefits. I think it doesn't look like man.
I think for me it was just growth. I stepped away from the space because of growth.
Mm-hmm.
I needed to explore something different. I was getting involved politically.
Yes.
I started working with the opposition leader, the former prime minister, the late Raila Odinga.
Yes.
And I thought with that and doubling up both as someone who is working with a politician and at the same time you're working with the people's space,
yes,
which is supposed to be free, neutral, open and neutral and yes, just about the issues, that will be disingenuous. So I actually stepped away from that space. And once I got involved politically, that's how I left the space. So you could say that I got that opportunity thanks to having been in Bunge la Mwananchi, because that's where I could say I got my credentials. You could say that I benefited in that way.
Okay, but to come back to his personal benefits and material, but one of the things that we don't talk about when it comes to activism and especially fighting a system, I'm a fighting for equality, fighting for justice, is that it comes at the price of arrests.
Yeah.
So, of course, we were arrested a couple of times, yes?
Yes. Kushikwa, activism, you know, when the people's politics is always versus government politics.
Mm.
Because, you see, government, once it has formed itself, as any organization, it has a responsibility to maintain, grow, and expand and be perpetual.
Mm.
But at the same time, the citizen have issues that always, from time to time, it threatens to either overthrow, downsize the government, or stop it from perpetuity. And that creates a conflict. So anytime you are in activism, you are in a civil society, you whatever you're pushing for is always a contradiction to what the government wants.
Yes.
And since the government has also to exercise its power, for us as citizens, we exercise our power through protest, through petition, through speech, through assembly. The government has also its mechanism of exercising its power. One way it can do that is to take up your issues and process it into policies and law.
Mm.
But sometimes those policies and laws might be not, they might not be convenient for the government. And so the government needs to fight you with other means. And one of those means is to try and block whatever you're doing. That blocking includes arrests. And so because of my activism, I've gotten arrested not less than 7 times, the one that I've been kept in a police cell, but many times of arrest and release, sometimes being followed around. But yeah, that's just the cost of being in activism.
Yes. So can you tell us when you release it? So the year is 2009.
Yes.
One of your friends,
yeah,
it was Paul Oulu.
Yes.
It was a GPO, George Paul Oulu.
Yes.
Akadedishwa na boy and it was Oscar Kingara, sindio?
Yeah.
And I think this was messed up because it happened. Was it State House Road?
It was State House Road.
Yes.
In fact, I know it very clearly because it was State House Road. For those who know, State House Road cuts between the university hostels. On the upper side, you have hall 9, hall 8, hall 6, hall 5.
Yes.
On the lower side, you have hall 1, hall 2, hall 10, hall 11, and State House. And you pass there, in between there, there's YMCA. You come to St. Andrews, and then you join the inverse roundabout.
Yes.
So GPO Ulu, they were shot right next to hall 11, next to the clinic. They have a university clinic just next there. I think they had just made their corner,
hall 11,
their corner from,
yes,
from Ufungamano as they take the university way to drop down through YMCA and join the university roundabout.
Yeah.
So GPO was, that's where GPO, they were gunned down. And so the first people to reach the scene were actually University of Nairobi students.
Mm. And yeah. I have to ask you, like, because Oscar Kingara, was he also your friend?
GPO Ulo was my friend.
Oscar mkwa tight.
Oscar very tight.
But and as that I could do, like, what were you guys dealing with that made maybe some political figures feel threatened? Because this was a political assassination, yes?
Yeah.
Yes. So now, what were you guys dealing with? Were you like mkona deal na nini kuzikwa na found yourself in the car cuz if he's your friend
actually
friends ubebana
actually that's not very difficult. I can imagine people who I imagine would have been in that vehicle, myself, I think from Bunge la Mwananchi, Gasheke, Odipo with the late Samson Ojiayo, Kelly Musyoka, and if you come to other elite civil societies, Fwamba would have been in that vehicle. And basically this is at the time when we have the political space is growing. The government has we've just come from Moi's time. Moi has just handed over power in 2003.
Yes.
And so this is just like 6 years later. So most of the people even in the power, as much as they came from opposition, they are not used to
criticism.
Citizens having a space, citizens having a voice, citizens being able to research on issues on the ground, document them, put them into a petition document that can be presented to the government so that that document can be then understood by the government and processed into a policy, a program, or a law that then addresses those issues. So I'm not exactly privy on the what GPO Wulu and Oscar Kingara would have been killed about. But what I know is that at that time, we had a huge problem of young people being disgruntled in Central Province.
Yes.
And the government's response was with force.
Executions, yes.
And so we had a lot of extrajudicial killings that were government commissioned. And it was not unusual of even sitting members of parliament talking about young people being killed in Central. It was not unusual for civil society to hold a press conference to condemn extrajudicial killing.
Yes.
It was not unusual for international community to issue a warning to Kenya for killing its own citizen. But Central Province was largely the most affected area. And it's the reason was that the young people in Central Province had become more politically conscious and more politically organized, and they were challenging the status quo.
Yes.
And the status quo at that time, majority of them were in the government. And so one way to push back on those young people was to kill them. And it happens from what I know, first by the fact that I was in the civil society, and two, what I got to learn when we were dealing with the issue of our very close friend GPO Wulu being killed, was we knew that they were carrying out an investigation, documenting how many people have been killed, and they had already prepared a report. And if that report had been released, then the government of the day was going to have a very difficult time explaining how a government can preside over death of its own citizen, especially young people who are the future. And it was even worse that the leaders of that government who were presiding over these deaths had were coming from the same region.
Yes,
and so I think they decided they will kill the message by killing the messenger. And that's how GPO...
Okay, because
if you didn't talk about it, me, I'd completely forgotten about
GBO.
And Kingara.
Yes.
Because so, they were fighting extrajudicial killings and met with
extrajudicial killings. Yes. So the Guardian will come and report. Two Kenyan human rights activists who provided evidence to a senior UN investigator over execution-style murders by police were assassinated on a busy Nairobi street yesterday evening. Yeah. Oscar Kamau Kingara, the director of Oscar Foundation, I even forgot about
Oscar Foundation.
And its program coordinator, John Paul, and Ikoni George Paul. John Paul Oulo was shot at close range in their car by gunmen less than a mile from the presidential residence.
Yes, the state house is just there, almost. Yes. I think a kilometer would be a very long distance.
Yes. Yeah. Then, Ukamalizona, only a few hours earlier, the government had publicly accused the organization, which runs a free legal aid clinic for the poor, of being a front for a criminal gang.
Yeah.
And I think this is the thing about politics. I always say that politics is emotional, yes?
Yeah.
And since politics is emotional, sometimes people forget stuff. Like when you tell people, because I've been in a lot of trouble in Kisema, that the Kenyan government has always killed its citizens. And people are surprised. They're like, no, Ruto is the first guy to kill. I'm like, no, this is normal business. And we normalized it. The fact that a lot of Kenyans don't know who Oscar Kingara is and don't know who Paul Oulo is shows you how much to normalize extrajudicial killings. And ukiambia wase hivyo nakwambia, no, you're supporting Ruto. He is the worst. I'm like, no, he's not the worst. This is normal Kenyan business. So where...
I think one of the things that we are yet to get a government that's not going to kill its own citizen.
Yes.
And the reason is that once people get into power, they usually assume like they will never leave that office.
Yes.
They get an entitlement of feeling like that's now their rightful place. It's almost like their mother's kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Why should you touch them? And with that, they forget that some of them, the issues that people are raising outside there, they are the same issues they were talking about.
Yes, before and they got into power.
Also, we, you know, Africans, we have self-rule, but I think we still don't know what's the real meaning of government, what government is supposed to do. Because most of people, once you want to get into power, it's your time to enrich yourself. Now, since uko kwa meza unakula, na labda ndio umeeka tu ile the first bite, and someone is disturbing the door, you are very angry. When you come out, you're very unreasonable.
Yes.
And so for that reason, you react with them with any force that you have that you can easily master at that point. And so since people see government as an opportunity to enrich themselves, it becomes, being in government becomes a very personal thing. In such that if someone tries to talk about that you're not doing a good job in government, you are personally attacked. Instead of even asking yourself, what is it that you expected me to do that I'm not doing? How can I do it better? Could you send me a memorandum of what I should do? You feel like you're being attacked, you're eating too much, or you're taking too long in the kitchen. And it's that time when you're just trying to make something to eat. So since we don't understand the meaning of government, that government is supposed to be for the people. For a long time, people never used to have government. Governments used to belong to a certain people, the king with his people.
Yes.
And the citizen were just subjects. Subjects means you served that government however it wanted. Then we changed the idea of government to be the people forming the government so that the government can do for it something. Mm. And the people who work in government then become servants. And now, if you have your servant, and here a servant in a good way, you can call them an employee.
Yes.
An employee does what the CEO or the owner of the company wants. But now, in Kenya, once you employ someone, that person will kill you because you're telling them you're not doing the job that I'm doing. So Kenya, we have had a culture of killing our own people. In fact, the culture comes from colonial time.
Yes.
Because the colonialists had a government. They enforced a government on us. They forced a government on us, which meant that they organized the society in their own image forcefully, and they made us servants in that government. And therefore, we had to do what that government wanted. And if you didn't do, they beat you up. They killed you. They forced us to pay taxes. If you did not pay taxes, they came and took your chicken. They came and took your crops. They took our land forcefully.
Yeah.
They took our labor forcefully. And then we fought the colonials to get freedom. The idea of freedom was so that we can govern ourselves better, so that we can't have a government that forces us to do things, but it will be the government that does what we want. But then when the new government came in, which was the independence government, they did not change. What changed was the faces. The other ones were white, now they became black.
Yes.
But the black continued to implement the laws, the ethics, the values, the practices, the programs of the colonial government to a book. In fact, they did it even much better. I think they had experience of how they had felt it.
Mm.
And the colonial government took taxes from us by force. The governments, even from Kenyatta's time, they have taken taxes from us by force.
Yes.
And they have increased taxes without even consulting the citizen.
Mm-hmm.
They have used taxes without even asking the citizen what's their priorities. They have taken our land for themselves. In our land, in this case, the land that was public land.
Mm.
We have had presidents give out their friends' land, take for themselves. That's taking our property by force. We've had during Moi and Kenyatta's time, they would pick our chicken.
Mm-hmm.
So then, the same way, when we resisted, they would kill us.
Yes.
So we've had Kenyatta government killed its citizen. It killed its opposition.
Mm.
Moi government took it to the next level.
Mm.
Kibaki government, we had thought that it would be different. Mm. It became even worse. Uhuru Kenyatta's government continued. And now, for sure, the government that's in place right now, it's just continuing with the script. Mm. So we may say that this government is worse, but the question is then you need to say compared to what?
Yes, yes. I think the only thing that saved the other governments was, number one, akukwa na TikTok.
That's
I love number two, tribalism was so rife. It's still rife,
yeah.
But I think right now you have people who've started taking a seat back and being like, you know what, this tribalism, it's bullshit.
Yeah,
like Gen Zs, a few Gen Zs, not all of them, yeah. A few have started questioning it. So in the process now, people can be able to see that extrajudicial
You're very right
killings.
About the media.
Mm.
Because you see, something that happened in the, let's say, 80s,
mm.
very few people would know. Even the newspapers, most of the time in the 80s and 90s, I think people used to read the yesterday's newspaper today.
Mm.
And then radios, there were very few. Actually, KBC is the one that reached everywhere.
Mm.
And then by the time even we got these FM stations, initially they were only allowed to play music so that we get entertained and forget about our problems. By the time we got into news time, that's when now people started knowing exactly what's happening. And this is just here, I think we've gotten into news time, I think 2000 going to 2010.
Yes. Mm.
So if you're born in 2000 and you come of age, let's say, to 2018,
yes,
you'd think that people have always had news. No.
Mm. Mm.
News, there are very few people. In fact, if you left Nairobi to go to my village, you arrived, you were the one who was carrying news. Whatever you told them,
actually,
if you lived in Kariobangi and you go there, you start telling them, this is what's happening in the world. I don't know what Nini, they would ask you, what is the world saying?
Mm.
Yeah. And then now you'll start off from there. And for a whole week when you're there, you have to keep remembering things that you've heard, because Nairobi is the only place where you could have some information, either because there's a... someone in your estate or on the plot who buys a newspaper. So once they have read it for the whole week, you will start reading it next week.
Mm.
And then you will gather a few things there.
Mm.
Now, right now, we are getting information in real time.
Mm. Yes.
In fact, if something happens as far place as Turkana, we have someone with a camera and has a few bundles, sends a WhatsApp to someone else makes it that thing to go viral. And so it's very easy for something happens in Kwale to go around the country and people would think that these things are happening just right now.
Yes.
Those things have always happened.
Mm.
Right now, the difference is we have mechanism to get it to go around the world.
Yes. Yeah. And do you think that us pointing out that this has always happened, does this mean that we are endorsing what is happening? Ama, does it mean that we are... What do you think it means?
I think the difference here is maybe for you, Mwaf, and my friend here, is you're approaching it from a scholar's point where you are saying, let's understand things from the root cause.
Mm.
Let's understand it broadly so that then when we address it as a systematic issue,
yes,
not as a episodic occurrence.
Mm.
And when you do that, some people who want you just to bandwagon anger, frustration, and join into condemnation or attack, then they feel frustrated.
Yes.
But otherwise, that should be the right approach to understand that this thing, it's systemic.
Mm.
It's characteristic of our politics for a very long time. So maybe what we need to ask ourselves is, what is it in the system that's enabling this kind of behavior, that such that whenever even we have change of people, they continue the same program. It's almost like there's a virus in the system.
Mm.
So even if you change the hardware, the machine is still running the same software.
Mm.
And that software has a virus. So should we find antivirus to go in there and isolate the virus and eliminate it instead of us trying to change the hardware?
Okay. Because I think... Konene, so the festive season is here. Na Lemfi wako na a very great offer kwako. Abaki ume sign up ukitumia the promo code Ekonene. And on your first transaction ya $50, uki send home, unabaki umepata a $20 sign-up reward. Najua, $20 sign-up reward on your first transaction of $50 only. Why? Because it's the festive season. Baki umechangamka, tumia promo code Ekonene, ingia Lemfi. Why? Upate the most competitive exchange rates. Alafu pia na kuagani chap-chap, like transactions ziko instant. Changamka raka-raka, Lemfi, international payments for everyone. Ekonene. That's important. Alafu maybe, kama unashindua kwa nini tunachukua opinion ya George Nyongesa as maybe higher than maybe yours, is because he's also a lecturer. Na cheki. So you're a lecturer at University of Nairobi?
Yes, right now I'm a lecturer.
Yes. What do you teach at University of Nairobi?
I teach philosophy. Mm. I specialize in logic, which is an intersection of largely mathematics. Mm. So I teach interdisciplinary courses to engineering student, economics, school of mathematics, and then also in philosophy, I'm also teaching there. Mm. So I'm based largely at the University of Nairobi, but I'm also teaching at Chuka University,
okay,
where I have classes, about 4 classes. Mm. So I've taught at Technical University of Kenya. Right now I'm interested in passing on knowledge. So that has been, I pivoted from politics into academia.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay, because I think I'm going to need to point that out so that people understand that this thing, it's such a systemic issue that, of course, you, because you teach philosophy and you teach what is something that, you, of course, you have to, you know, like understand. And but now the question would be, do you envision a Kenya with reduced extrajudicial killings? Because I feel like it's been part of our society and we've justified it. We as the citizens have justified it. So we justified it during protests za Raila, that it was this happens in the Wajaka areas. You understand? Mm-hmm. We'd look at it that way. And when you looked at it that way, we forgot that in 2009, it was happening in Central. And it's Central that led to the death of JPO. He was JPO, not GPO?
JPO. Yeah, yes. JPO.
Yes.
Wiza Luo.
And Pia Oscar Kingara. You understand?
Kikuyu,
Yes. So you can see this is how big a problem it was, that it led to their deaths. But we forget that part. Yeah. We only see 2007, then 2013, 2017. I love to turn like this are mostly ODM. The place where mass murder was happening was ODM zones. Mm. So you had Kisumu, you had Kibra, you understand?
Yeah.
But then to not forget that this is the norm. Like the way people are shocked in 2009. 2024, Selko are shocked. Like, oh, this is happening. Damn, this has been happening. This is normal. This is a normal Tuesday in Kenya. So how do we move from that to a better Kenya?
I think we've made some progress. And largely we made progress because we have now young people who are not so much attached to their tribe as compared to mostly, like if you grew up in my time, first of all, you grew up very isolated in your village. And you knew only your neighbors and your friends would be people who speak like you. Mm. And other people, you talked about them like those people in far places. Some people, you possibly would live your whole life. Like I come from Busia, Matayos. It's very possible that I know people in Matayos who have never met, maybe a Maasai. Let me just go for a Maasai. Mm. And therefore, a Maasai, when he's talked about, is an object that you have to create an imagination of what they would look like. Now, you can imagine if you're talking about a Maasai, you would say, ako na shuka, na mebeba rungu, na hiyo shuka ndiyo inakuanga tu peke yake, huku ndani hajavaa kitu yote. So now that's the image that everyone
ni rungu ndogo.
So marungu, that's the only image that people will have of a Maasai. Now, that person does not have a head, doesn't have a hand, doesn't have legs. We don't know the color. We don't know whether they are black. Do they have hair? Mm. No hair. Do they eat food that's cooked or it's raw?
Yes.
And in that sense, that person becomes an imaginary object.
Yes.
And any imaginary object, when it's suffering, you don't feel personal. But now if you've met someone physically, you know this person is just like you. And the reason why largely human beings we have sympathy and empathy is because we are able to move ourselves and place ourselves in a position of someone else.
Yes.
And you ask yourself, if I was that person, would I want that to happen to me? And most of the time you'd say no. And that is the reason why we end up, even against your own personal instinct, disposition, you end up not doing that. So, for example, I would love to steal from you. But I do not want a situation where if you had opportunity, you would steal from me. So for selfish reason,
yeah,
I do not want you to steal from me. I do not want to steal from you for my own selfish reason, which is I know that if I encourage an environment where we can just steal, yes, then you will also steal from me. So for that reason, I withhold myself from stealing. And if you do the same, then it becomes universal. But once we remove a situation where I don't see myself like you, then anything happening to you, it's just okay. You are an object. In fact, an imaginary one.
Yes.
So now that young people are interacting, and especially thanks to social media has its advantages and disadvantages. One of the advantages of social media is now I think in my village people know what a Maasai looks like, what someone, a Digo looks like, what a Burji looks like, because now TikToks go viral, and when it gets to my village, they will just see, they're like, this in Kenya, people in Somali, they can get to see people from my village, and then that. And so I think with that humanization of our number, so we are not just 50 million, we have clarity is going to reduce. We're also going to school. I think that's going to help a little bit, even though I get disappointed that even among landed people, when it comes to our politics, even professors just vote the same way
the tribe,
tribe votes. There's nothing special about that.
You're back to
I think even scholars find an explanation on why that's the best way to do.
Yes.
And so, education hasn't really helped much, but I think we will make progress. But as long as the biggest problem is that we are poor, and the problem with people being poor is you are poor individually, and you have this mentality that someone else has your thing. And now, if you are told the person who has that thing is Mwaf,
yes,
then you want to get from Mwaf, but you don't know whether Mwaf actually has that thing. And so, since the person who is telling you is a propaganda, you end up hating that person so energetically, but actually that person is not your problem. But so, if there's a way we can grow some riches, so that people, we move away from the politics of the stomach. I think since we have said here that I'm a scholar, I'm allowed to use some of the scholarship that I know.
Yes.
Plato has this idea. Plato is one of the philosophers from the Greek ancient time. He has this idea that a human being has, you have the body, and then you have the soul. And the soul can be divided into three parts. So it has the reasoning part, then it has the courage part, and then it has appetite part. So he says that how those three things are balanced, your spirit, which is the courage, the reasoning, which he calls the rational, and the appetite, how they are balanced is what determines who you are. So for example, if in the three parts, your appetite is the dominant, so let's say out of 100, it's 65, then you are an appetite person. If the spirit, which is courage, is the one that's dominant, then you are a spirited, active person. So such a person, if I tell you, Mwaf, beat this person, you beat them first. Then maybe next week is when you'll ask, what was the problem?
Yes.
Then we have the reasoning part, which is the part where you contemplate, you think, you reason about things. If that's the dominant part, everything when it comes to you, you take time to think about it. Now, Plato thinks that society can be, so that's an individual. So he thinks that a good person is the one who is dominated by the reason. So your reason should be like 75%. Then your courage, a bit small.
Yes.
And then your appetite, very small. Such a person, he thinks, is a very powerful person, because you can't entice them with food, with sex, with pleasure. Appetite is sex, food, pleasure. So if you are dominated by appetite, it means when you hear the word there's food, that's where you want to be. So if you are the type of person who knows whose birthday is coming next and whether the cake is nice, whose wedding is happening, where the funeral and how much
for me,
you are the person who likes gauge. Every weekend, you're ever high. That's someone who loves pleasure. If you are the type of person who is sex is the dominant thing every time, that's what you are thinking. You're controlled by appetite. That person is a very weak person. Because he can easily be manipulated. If you're also controlled by courage, then most you are someone who is always fighting. But if you're controlled by reason, then reason helps you to subdue your courage. Yes. So courage is deployed as a resource. And then your appetite is also shrunk. That's a very good person. So he thinks that actually society should also be controlled in the same way. That he says actually that when you look at the pyramid of society, the largest part of the pyramid is controlled by appetite. So majority of the population is always, they are controlled by appetite. And then a very small section is controlled by courage. Yes. In the modern time, those are the soldiers.
Yes.
And then the top one here are the few people who understand how that society is and they are able to manipulate it. They are able to manipulate the courage part. They are able to manipulate the appetite. And so you can see our politics, that when it reaches our times of our politics, we don't discuss issues. We are usually, vote for me, intaleta bei ya unga chini, appetite. Vote for me, we'll make condoms available, appetite. Vote for me, we will make sure that vijana wako na form kila wakati, or even during campaign, we make sure form inapatikana kila saa, appetite. There's no one who is engaging you intellectually.
Yes, yes.
And you see,
vote for me, you'll go to German.
Yes, even those kind jobs. Of promises. Hope is appetite.
It's an appetite.
Yeah, hope is appetite. That's why even our preachers also rely on hope.
Yes.
They sell hope because hope is appetite. Con artists rely on hope. Even when kijana kitaka kudanganya msichana, they rely on appetite. So unapeleka STS, unanunua kuku na maji ya machungwa, unaeka hapo ya kutosha, even when you don't have fare.
Maji ya machungwa.
Maji ya machungwa unaeka hapo, unaeka meza inakuwa sawa. Hiyo ni controlling appetite.
Appetite for destruction.
Yes. Because otherwise, you see, the other option is to engage the person intellectually. But you'll find, to engage the person intellectually, you need more resources.
Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe. And you have limited.
So appetite is the easiest way to control people. And when you look at our society, the biggest problem, majority of us, which maybe you need to ask your audience right now.
Yes.
What controls you? Is it appetite? If appetite controls you, and we've described who is controlled by appetite, you are the biggest problem in the country.
Yes.
If you are the type that's always able to reflect, to think about something and think about it broadly, you're controlled by reason, rational element.
Yes.
You're the best person. And if we have those people, many in society, then you have an orderly society. And such a society, now some of the things that we see in our politics, we see in our market, we see in our social life can be reduced. If such society, you can't have even preachers who are selling hope. Because if you know how people become rich, someone cannot tell you that you bring the last 250 shillings that you have and then you wait on the Lord to see what will happen.
Yes.
Because we know the process of making money. It means you have to, if you're going to make money, you must be productive in some way. You must do something. Then that thing that you're doing should be something that other people want. And the people who want it can pay for it, and they are willing to pay. And then take it out of that thing to those people. And once they pay, that's how you make money. So if you're going to make 1,000 shillings, you have to produce something. But when you're in a situation where someone tells you that you're going to make 1,000 shillings and there's no production, then you are in hope. You're controlled by appetite.
Yes.
There are three ways you can make money. You either steal, because money is always in someone's pocket.
Yes.
Yeah, there's no money. Even when someone tells you they're looking for money, just tell them if you can go help them to look, because where are they looking for it? Maybe if you are 3, 4, 5 people. Money is always in someone's pocket. So the way to get it out of it, you either steal from them.
Yes.
It's the easiest, but it's very costly. If you're caught, it's very expensive.
You can be worked on.
Consequences are dire.
Then the second one is to beg.
Yes.
You can beg. That's another way I can get money from your pocket.
Yes.
I can beg from you. And begging is also very easy. The problem is that it's not dignified. Yeah, it's if you want people to respect you, to treat you in a certain way, then begging is not one of those ways. Begging is not also not very reliable. Just because I'm begging from you, it doesn't mean you'll give me.
Yes.
But begging is another way. So majority of us, we are also beggars. If we are not thieves, we are beggars. If you are someone who sits mtaani, na unangojea watu wengine walete form, you are a beggar. Because you have not produced anything. You're not being productive. How do you expect to earn? Then the third way is to work.
Yes.
And work is the general word for producing. Now, you can work either physically, where you're using your body to do something. You can work where you are using just your brain. You can work a combination of your brain and your physical. That way you produce something. Now, if you are not participating in those three ways, there is no way you're going to get something into your pocket. And such people are usually the best way, the most honorable, dignified, scalable, the one you can become rich is to work. But work is hard also.
Yes.
And human beings don't like work. Generally, we don't like work. But work is the only way we interact with our environment and we're able to get something. But we don't like it. And so once we don't want to steal, we don't want to beg, and we also don't want to work, we become vulnerable. For now, for people who are selling hope. Yeah.
Okay.
And those could be con artists, who include our preachers, politicians, or anyone who wants to take advantage of you, even as a young person or as an old person.
Because, Ville, when you talk about appetite and you talked about the society, also it also made me feel like another thing that we lack, especially as the African society or even as a Kenyan society, is the fact that also a lot of our politicians are also controlled by the appetite.
Yes.
The appetite this time is money. Because they can also be, as long as money is not evil and money is not the root of all evil.
No, money is
good. Yes, money is good. But now for them, the fact that they are able, they are ready to steal like money that was meant for hospitals to go into their pockets. Like you saw the whole debate that Gachagua has started about Northeastern.
Yeah.
Acheke. It's those Northeastern governors, they are controlled by their appetite.
Yeah.
Acheke. So they can't control their appetite. And what happens?
No, satisfying our appetite is the easiest thing. And it's very exciting to satisfy our appetite. To be involved in sex is very exciting. Going for a party where there's plenty of good food is exciting. Being in leisure, whether it's traveling, seeing things, is very exciting. So all of us, we want it. And one way that we are able to get resources to do that is to have money.
Yes.
But now when you don't understand the role of money in the human life, you tend to think that having lots and lots of it is going to solve your problem. But sometimes when you have lots and lots of it, you're creating even more problems.
Yes.
For not only for yourself, but even for others. So for example, if you're not working, you're definitely stealing somehow to make a lot of money.
Yes.
Because normally you're not begging. Especially the people you're talking about, politicians, they're not begging. So they are stealing. But now the thing is that human beings, we are very clever. We found stealing to be very demeaning. We changed the name of stealing into corruption.
Yes.
So you know corruption is good. If I sit here, Mwaf, you've been my friend for a long time. If you know that the money I have is through corruption, you will not condemn me the same way. If you know, nilinyonga umze.
Yeah.
Hapo ndio nilitoanga milioni yangu ya kwanza ile nye. Hapo utakwango na niangaliwa na this man is very evil.
Yes.
But here, corruption, you think... that's a money that you can, that one you can excuse. In fact, even if I have not stolen from government, you wonder what's the problem with me. Now, so government money is money that comes from, government does not produce any money for it on itself.
Yes.
Government does not have any income. It has zero income.
Yes.
The money ultimately has to come from the citizens.
The citizens, yes.
People who have chosen.
Yes. And that money is called taxes. Now, there is the problem with money that it keeps changing name. Now, when it changes the name, people forget that it's money. Taxes are just money.
Yes.
And that money government collects from all of us, 50 billion. Somehow, they're very clever. Either from a shop, when you buy your cigarette.
Yes.
When you buy Blue Band, when you buy salt. when you go to the fundi and you are unashonesha nguo, so you can think that you've escaped the taxman.
Tokens.
Yeah, everywhere there's taxes.
Mm.
And then there are those people who are working like mwaf. They are cut, there's you automatically 30%.
Yes.
Inangolewa hapo. Then now kuna hii yenye imekuja hii pay as you live, pay as you eat, pay everything. Now, when you add all that, that becomes the money that the government has. That money comes from all of us. It's supposed to be for a collective good. But now when that money has been collected, some people usually see it as this is our opportunity now to get money, to go satisfy our appetite.
Mm.
But what are the goods that the taxes are supposed to serve? To make sure that everywhere there's a school, a functional school, not just a school, a functional school that can teach those who are in kindergarten, they can understand A, B, C, D properly. They can understand 1 to 9 very clearly and even know how to play around with the ABCDs and how to play around with the numbers. And they are able to grow from kindergarten to primary to high school to university. And then these become people that we have trained as society to become productive so that they are not beggars, they are not thieves. They become producers. And when they produce, again, they pay taxes. So our taxes keeps growing. So they keeps growing. But now when these people steal, first of all, as an individual, you can only use so much money.
Yes.
So, for example, even if you have a house that has 12 rooms, you end up sleeping just in one room. Corner.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Or for 6x6. And if you are a man like Mwaf and my friend here, if you look at your big house, and if you trace, since you did calculus, if you trace your pathway over a long time, you'll find that the space that you have used in that house is so small. It's so small.
Not even the space, the time.
That you, it's so small that you wonder why you have a house that has 12 rooms.
Yes.
Now, money is the same thing. You can have a lot of money, but you are just an individual. So what do you do with that money? You have, first of all, to have running around to hide it. Because you've taken a lot of money. So we keep it abroad, in the banks abroad. So the banks abroad have capital to make the economy grow. But the banks at home don't have capital. Because if you keep it at home, then it's easy to be taken away. That's why you take it abroad. But then the banks at home don't have money. Because whatever we produced has been taken away. So it's a negative. And you see, a country economy is supposed to be like a closed system to some extent, only open for foreign direct investment. But a closed system in the sense that whatever we produce is the output. So input, output. So if the input grows, the output also grows. And that's how you enlarge and enlarge your economy. And then occasionally you allow some vents where foreign direct investment can come in. And that also helps you to expand and expand. But if someone comes now and slashes away a chunk of it, the input is high. Output becomes lower because someone has stolen from it. So the economy remains shrunk. And if the economy stays at the same size, but the population is growing, the economy cannot support that population. And how do you see that? That economy can support that population? You see it through unemployment. Because the economy should be able to have enough money for many people to be traders, to be entrepreneurs, to be innovators, to be creators, to be doing things.
Yes.
But now since there's no money for people to do that, the economy shrinks. And so since the best way for an economy to support its population is for people employing themselves, not the government employing themselves, employing people. Government has very few slots. Government doesn't even have, I think, slots that are reach even 1 million, to employ 1 million people. And if you look at the country, Kenya, we have 55 million people. Where are they going to be employed?
Yes.
So who should employ people? People should employ themselves, either my friend here starting something and then employing me, you start something, you employ the next person, but he has employed himself like that. So the citizen are supposed to be the employers. And they employ that because we have this growing economy that means that we have a lot of money. Banks are lending at a very cheap rate. So people can just walk into the bank. And you see, banks also are doing business. When there's a lot of money, banks don't like keeping money. Banks want to give out money so that money can go work and pay interest so that it grows. So banks will have to shrink to reduce the lending rate.
Yes.
Yeah, and when they reduce the lending rate, it becomes cheaper and cheaper. Before you know it, to get a loan, you don't need to produce a logbook. Nowadays, we get loans through M-Pesa. M-Pesa doesn't. You don't need to show anything.
Mm.
Yeah. Now that could even become even much better if we didn't have these people who are stealing. And these people who steal, they steal because of appetite, and then they create problem for everyone. Because now everyone goes to their house to queue to get donations. Or go nini, if you come from where I come from, people took on a seminar to Mbeho, which is in Luo, among Luos is Gonya. Everywhere.
Mbeho ni ka
Gonya. Mbeho is, give me something.
Gonya. Gonya ni untie me. Untie me from poverty.
Yeah.
So, I learned Mbeho from him, but that's a difference.
Ile ni mwambia, and it shows you, like, I'm actually scared because I learned about Mbeho when I was 11 years old.
Yeah.
And my kid is just about to turn 11.
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
And I feel scared, man. I feel scared because I think I even learned it at 10. Because remember, nili learned ikiwa class 5.
Yeah.
And class 5, mid class 5, that's when I turned 11. Najua. And ilikuwa ni dem mluya aliniambia unasema mbeho shipoto.
Yeah, hiyo ndio kuomba sasa.
Yeah. But what are talking kwa mbeho shipoto?
Okay.
So what damn, like, umechikile explain money mpaka mzee, like, I know nothing about money.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting.
Hata hiyo nini, like, the Plato concept theories na nini. Kwa tu sawa. Sasa niko like, should I tell my kid be courageous or be reasonable?
Yeah.
You want them to be
courageous,
reasonable?
Yes.
So we want reason to dominate,
yes,
but also to have courage,
mm-hmm,
but also to have appetite, because you don't want them not eating.
Yes.
You don't want also you want them to have sex, to have leisure.
Yes.
But that should be the small part of their soul, not the most dominant. And that, if you have more people who are like that in society, then you have a stable society. Because where people meet, they discuss issues. They're not discussing appetite issues. So you see, like, right now in our country, the easiest way to convince people is to make food available and sex and alcohol. If you just say those ones are free,
kutakuwa na ngono na pesa. Kutakuwa na ngono na chakula.
There'll be drinks. Yeah, you'll have so many people. So you can imagine anytime, if you want people to come to your house, just say we have food and alcohol. And for men, just tell them there will be ladies. And then they are there. But imagine if a situation where we say, now, since here we are debating, more of you decided you are moving this studio to CBD and you want people just to come and let's talk issues. You'll find a few people will stop by. We can't have a situation where there are so many people who have come that they want to satisfy their rationality or reasoning. So the problem is that we are not saying that people should just stay in reasoning, like contemplating, reflecting. We are saying that let's manage the soul so that it's balanced. Your inner self should be balanced, not controlled by appetite, and also not controlled by courage.
Because
if you're controlled by courage, if courage is more than rational, then you have any mutu wa vita.
When a goon.
When a goon. Yeah, easily hired to be a goon.
Yes.
Yeah, because when you kuambiwa tu maze linda pale, piga watu. Yeah. But yeah, kama when you mtu mwenye kuna reason, unakaa mahali penye watu wanaongea vitu, unauliza how do we benefit from this thing? Why is it not working? What is the solution? Mahali penye kuna problem, when you show up, watu wanaona, you are someone who brings solution. So for example, you need to ask yourself, including our audience, are you the type when people have a problem, they approach you for solution? Or you are the type when people have a party, they'll want you to be there?
You're the life of the party.
If you are the life of the party, you are someone everyone knows around you that you are controlled by appetite. If you don't know that people know, just that's the characteristic. If you are the type that people say, we are anafanyanga party kwe live, then they know you are the person who is controlled by appetite. If you are the type of person, every time you want to know where things are happening and you have to be there, and if you are not cold, you cause mayhem among your friend, then you are controlled by appetite. We should be people who want to think about things. And the reason is, for us to be human beings, we are animals.
Yes.
We are animals in the jungle. But the problem of us being animals in the jungle is that we are very weak.
Mm.
Even a mosquito can finish us.
Mm.
And a leopard will tear us into pieces, leave alone the lion.
Yes.
So for that reason, the only differentiator that makes us powerful is thinking, rationality.
Yes.
And that's what moved us from the forest, and we came and created our own forest called civilization.
Yes.
Where we have houses, and we're able to create our own life, reasoning. Now, if we don't grow our reasoning, and we shrink it, we become animals. Because you can see even in Kiswahili we say, when someone does something stupid, we say, na umekua kama mnyama. It means you have lost your reasoning. Now you are just an animal.
Trying to feed your appetite.
Yes.
Yes.
But when you are someone who is thinking, then watu unasikia wanasema, hey, umeongea kama kamati. Which means you are a combination of many brains. That's what it means to kuongea kama kamati. Hey, mazee umeongea na uko ni kama kamati. Namaanisha, we can add your brain plus one, two other people, mpaka maybe 20 people, even ndio umeongea. So you realize that thinking is what makes us human. But the moment we suspend thinking, which we do most of the time, when we suspend thinking, now we run into trouble. And since human beings, we are very smart. We know about thinking that makes us different from animals. The reason we go to school, ultimately, is to grow our thinking. We want to grow our thinking. We start growing our thinking by learning language. That's why we start learning A, B, C, D. If you think about it, ABCD is just sound. So like the way I'm talking right now, what's happening is I'm just making sounds. And those sounds, your brain is able to pick and convert it into things that we have already agreed on called words.
Yes.
But the words are made up of ABCD. Now, the ABCD, we learn them up to 26. All right? So when a child goes to kindergarten, he's just learning ABCD. There's nothing else. Those are just sounds. Then after that, we teach them to join those sounds, and what those sounds form words.
Yes.
Then those words are representation of the things that are in environment. So like a boy is an environment, a tree, a house, a chicken, a mat, a dog is in the environment. So we take these ABCDs, form into words. Then we teach that child to join the words into a simple sentence. So for example, a boy is on the mat.
Yes.
So we have joined mat and boy together, and that's a sentence.
Yes.
And then now we are discussing now environment. You see? And what we are doing is we are training this child to be able to see the environment and say something about the environment. Then we form sentences. We turn them into paragraphs. When we start, we start writing composition. Then we'll write insha. Then those sentences, as they grow and grow, right now, since we started doing this podcast, we've been using sentences. And what are we discussing? What are we using sentence for? To talk about reality. To talk about nature. How did we learn that? We learn it from learning ABCD. And so you can see that the ability for me to say that, and for you to ask me questions, have come from you growing your thinking. That's why we're able to have this conversation. Now, it's very important that all of us, 55 million Kenyans, we have to grow our thinking. We shouldn't be growing our appetite, right?
Yes.
We should be growing our thinking. And when we grow our thinking, we are able to see what's in the environment and then describe it. And in describing it, we can describe it either as a problem, which we want to find a solution. And then if we describe the problem clearly and form a solution clearly, then you see we have solved a problem in society. And some ways we solve those problems is we create a technology.
Yes.
All right? And then we become a technological society. But if we don't know how to think, then we can't analyze our environment. And if we can't analyze our environment, we can have problems, but we can't even describe the problems clearly. And a problem that cannot be described cannot be solved. And if we can't solve a problem, then we can't develop technologies to solve those problems. And so, since thinking is really problematic in our society, a lot of things are also problematic. So, for example, we are not really creators. Yeah, we are not creating things. So beautiful things that move civilization, that make human beings very proud, are not coming from Kenya, are not coming from East Africa, from Africa. They are coming from other places. The difference between them and us is thinking.
Yes.
We are not innovating. Innovating is improving something. Yeah. So for example, if you look at this podcast, this is an innovation. These guys looked at the studio, whether it was those big studios, and asked themselves, what makes a studio? Lights, camera, microphone, chair. Then they're like, oh, yeah, all those other things are not necessarily the studio. So given my limited resources, I can actually create a studio. So what should we remove? Then you look at the parts that you think that are not the thing that make a studio. So you're able to remove them. That's thinking.
Yes.
Then you are able to innovate. So like this studio we are in right now is an innovation. Then we can, entrepreneurship. Entrepreneurship is, you look at society, you see what's the problem, you create a solution for that.
Yes.
The solution now when it goes to entrepreneurship is what we call business. The technology of solving that problem is called business.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So to come up, so you look at your environment, you realize that this place, there are many people who are not married, don't have houses, and they want to eat. And they are working, which means they have some money. And since they don't have a place, I can turn my house, my kitchen. So what's a hotel? A hotel is a place where there's fire and they can cook food and people can eat. So either people can eat by coming and taking it away, which is called home delivery.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can provide them your sitting room to sit there and eat, becomes like a hotel.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then you solve that problem by creating a hotel for those people. So you see, you become an entrepreneur. You're able to see the environment, identify the problem, and create a technology, which is called business, to solve that problem.
Yes.
Then we can also be inventors through thinking. Invention is where you look at reality. And through understanding the forces of nature. And then you're like, it seems to... For us to cover a distance, if I need to travel from Dagoret Corner to Githurai, what I need is to keep reducing this distance by walking. But how about if I found something that I can slide on slowly all the way and therefore I preserve my energy? And then you saw a mango and or a guava, you can roll on it. And then you have this idea of looking at the mango and you're like, it's round. So like, what if I got a stronger thing that's round and then I get them to be two and then I create somewhere where I can sit. Then maybe to start with, I will push Muff on that roller for half the distance. Then Muff will push me the half the distance. And just right there, we have started inventing a process of transport.
Yes.
That's through thinking.
Yes.
That we are inventing, we are bringing something that has never existed into existence. Right? And so, you see, I've counted, we have innovation, entrepreneurship, invention, what else? Things that human beings do with thinking. When you look at all those things, creation, invention, entrepreneurship, innovation, those things are actually not in Africa or among Africans. Because we say we are innovators, but it's on a very small scale. Very small scale. We say we are creators, but there's nothing we are creating from zero. We are either... So the best we become is innovator.
Yes.
Where we are sagging away from the thing. Entrepreneurship, we say we are entrepreneurs, but we are not. We are actually large-scale consumers of other people's entrepreneurship.
Yes.
So, for example, the problem is people need maybe computers. You go and buy computers from China, and then you sell here. So you are a large-scale consumer. We are not entrepreneurs. And we are not inventors. Now, if you say something that we have invented even in Africa or among Africans, you'll find it will take a very long time to come up with a list. So in fact, we could challenge our audience to give us anything. Maybe less 5 things that they think have been invented. Not innovated, invented by Africans.
And what on Ashindwa, because we'll talk about this book. So John Nyongesa has a book called Aristotle's Logic for Teens, a cheat code to STEM. Science, technology, engineering, mathematics. Critical thinking and foolproofing against bullshit. So tutakuwa tukiongea juu hiyo, because critical thinking is very important, and with that comes inventions. And the funny thing is, we need to separate pia hata ikikam to sisi as black people, we need to separate Africans from like black Americans, because them they've invented a lot of stuff that we never knew about. Najua how refrigeration like he big because they are moving vehicles refrigerated them and it took a traffic light system them GPS them najua so how wanafanya sisi ndio tuko hapa tuko
sisi tuko 1.4 billion in tunafanya the continent called Africa
tunafanya ujinga like do you know how to push
5 million
in
Kenya.
But do you know how to push things to the next level? Yes, because M-Pesa and mobile money, of course, akina WeChat zimekuja baadaye, but sisi, we are like, sisi as Kenyans, we are able to push it to the next level. So tukiendelea, another thing about you, you are an author, yes?
Yes, sir.
So you have a book that's upcoming, but you already have two books out, yes?
I have two books out.
So I think one of the books, and it was Boardroom, what? It was in a board... Papers Made Simple.
Yes.
So what's Board Papers Made Simple? What's that about?
Basically, that was my first attempt at seeing how to help people with knowledge. So you see, like, people who work in corporate world,
yes,
they are always producing papers. So you have board paper. So let's say you're helping the board. There are a lot of papers that they produce.
Yes.
And those papers, they give people a lot of difficulties in terms of preparing them. So I just actually came up with a book that has, one, the templates for all the papers and explanation how those papers are written. And so it's a catalog, which if you're working for a working for someone who is either CEO or board of directors in big corporates, you can just go to the book, and the book will give you for each template of a board paper. Then you have a template there that you can use to read. It was my first attempt at writing the book.
Yes.
Then I moved into writing now a technical book, which is for academic.
Yes.
And that's where I've written a book on logic.
Yes.
Aristotle logic. That's my second book. And my third book is God, Logic, and Reality, which is about to come. That basically the book is about trying to help us see whether there's any relationship on how human beings think and how it can help us to solve the question of, does God exist or he doesn't exist? And can we just use reasoning and move away from revelation and just use that to go down the rabbit hole? Because there are two options.
Yes.
Either God exists or God doesn't exist. There's no third option. If God exists, then it means something. If God doesn't exist, it also means something. And that question, those two questions are really important questions for human beings. So there's no third option for us. And so that's what that book will try to solve. And
very interesting, Nene, because I can say, if God exists, then 100% Prophet Owuor is a con man. If God does not exist, Prophet Owuor is a con man.
Automatic. Yes. Yeah, there's nothing.
Yes.
You don't need to...
If God exists, then there's a gray area. Maybe Prophet Owuor helped to create the planet.
Yeah.
Yeah. You saw the video.
So now you can reason about it differently.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. But if God does not exist, then from just right now, we don't need anything else. We can conclude that Prophet Owuor is a scam. But if God exists, then we have to go into more detailed way of thinking about it. But even leave alone that. So we can ask. So let me just run a small experiment on Ian and Marv.
Yes.
So let's take. Do we want to try out first? God exists or God doesn't exist? Then we see what.
Let's go with God exists.
Yeah? Okay.
We go first with God exists.
Yes. Yes.
All right. So let's say God exists. Then it's a fact of our reality.
Yes.
Okay. It means that if God exists, then is our reality like we have gravity. We can't just disobey gravity. We have to live in always obeyance of reality called gravity. So, for example, we are now on second floor.
Yes.
The way we respect gravity is we create stairs. Otherwise, if we wanted to disobey gravity, we just come out through that window. We know what will happen.
Yes.
All right? So, if God exists, then we have to ask ourselves the next question. Does God want to relate with us? If he wants to relate with us, then we have to ask ourselves how.
Okay.
And then how will we relate with God? And then you could also ask yourself, does God look like us, or is a different thing? Or, so if God exists, what would be the nature of God compared to us? Is he like us or different? So that also
is a man.
If he's a man like us, then it's a different question you have to deal with.
Does he have favorites?
Yes. Does he also have favorites? Also becomes a question. Then does God talk to us? Has he been talking to us?
And if he's a man, I'll go as far as asking, does he have sex?
Does he also have human behavior?
Human needs.
Human contact, human needs.
Appetite.
Because if he's a man, what makes him a man? That would make me a man is genitalia. So why does he have genitals if he's not?
For what?
So we will see all that. And suppose we have a God who is just like Ian. How much reverence should we give you? It means that we know you can cry, you get hungry, you are limited, you are just here, so you are not in Kawangware, you are not in Umoja. So
if God is emotional.
That's a useless God. So we have to rubbish that God. So then we have to have an idea of a more serious God. So we have an idea of a God who is everywhere. Now, again, so let's continue with that rabbit hole. If God exists, does God talk to us? Has he been talking to people all through? Then we could say something like, yeah, he's been talking through people all the time. So we have revelation.
Yes.
So the revelation, we could say, there's the Bible. Then we are like, so before the Bible, was he talking to people? Now, that's another question you have to ask yourself. How long has the Bible existed? And then you have to ask, if God talks to human being, would he talk conflicting words? Or will he have just one message?
Yes.
Now, if he has one message, then why do we have different
interpretations
called religion?
Yes.
So why do we have Christianity, Buddhism,
denominations? Yes.
And then you could say that among those religion, at least maybe only one
is right.
Is right because they are conflicting.
Yes.
Same God cannot give conflicting message.
Yes.
But suppose, let's say we pick one. Then the question is, which one? Because Buddhists think that theirs is the correct one.
Yes.
Confucius think theirs is the correct one. Muslims think theirs is the correct one.
Yes.
Christians think theirs is the correct one. But among Christian, again, suppose we were to say Christian is the one, then the question is, why do we have Catholic, then Protestant, and then Protestants, too many of them? And they all also believe whichever theirs is the correct one, including the one that's being formed today, including the one for our might prophet Owuor, thinks his is the one that is speaking for God.
Yes.
Now, how about the other one? So at least among all these Christian denominations, at least only one may be true.
Habakkuk Prophetic Ministries.
Yes.
So we don't know. Then the question is, which one? And we can go like that until we have to ask ourselves. And that's how now you're trying to approach each analyzing the question of God using just thinking. And that can lead us somewhere. It could lead us to the place where you maybe say, yeah, I think it looks like most likely there's God. But also if we went with there's no God, also it has its own implications.
Okay. Yeah. Let's look at that.
So let's say there's no God. So then the biggest question is, where does all these things that exist, including us, where did we come from? Now, that question, mostly atheists are the ones who take that position, and their answer has been the science explains.
Yes.
But now when you think about science, you have to ask yourself, so science explains, first of all, science is not a very old subject.
Yes, like 400 years.
Yes, actually, to be very precise, it's like 400
studying
years.
Studying it.
So before that, what did people then know? Are we saying that those people didn't care about this question? Did they ask that question? Did they have answers? And then, what science is a method of knowing?
Yes.
Of knowing something. Is science able to know everything? So, for example, can science tell us the intention of Ian right now? It becomes very difficult because no one knows. There's no measuring tool for Ian. We can measure his intentions. So you can start seeing that science has limitations. So science, by definition, is able to study what's there and how it works. It studies what is it. It can tell us what it is. What is it? This one.
Mm. Yes.
It's where a god, it came from.
Yeah. Mm. And then it can tell us how it works. Yes. So it can tell us this is a heart and how it works. Mm. But now when we start asking other questions like, where did that thing come from? Science becomes limited.
Yes.
And why is it here? Mm. That science becomes limited. And why is it here? Like for more, if you're interested in the question, why are you here?
Mm.
And why just the year when you were born?
Yes.
And is there any reason? Why do you even have knowledge? Mm. Why do things around you bother you? Why do you go to school? Why do you grow up? You are young. Then you, yeah, you need to know the meaning of all that.
Yes.
And then you find that now science can't help us. And so you find that science has also limitation. But even if you go to the guys who say it was a Big Bang theory, which is just meaning that in their explanation is that there was a concentration of energy in a very small thing, and yes, that energy exploded. And that explosion is what led into formation of the different particles that later coalesced through the force of gravity, and they were able to form planets, and then different planets were able to generate different ecosystem that enabled life.
Yes.
Now that's our Earth. Then the question is, where did the particle come from?
Yes. And the same question to appear at this tool is Agahatu. Yeah. If nothing can come from nothing. Then where did God come from?
Yes. You see? Now, yes. So that's also a very good question.
Mm.
If nothing
comes from nothing.
Yes.
Mm. Then where did God come
from? Where did God come from?